have not, I'm not mature enough to serve. I'm not smart enough to do this. I'm not capable. And the reality is that idea of being useless is a false one. It's one that the devil uses to pull us and push us down. Every single person here is useful. Every single person here has opportunity. Every single person here is needed. And church, I want to see us, I want to invite us, I want to challenge us to break the 80-20 rule, to break it in half. Right? Where 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. We can break that. And the reality is the only way that we're going to get towards the achievement of those vision, mission, and values is if we all pull up our shirt sleeves and jump in. Okay, so the first person was, I'm useless. That's a lie. The second was, I'm hurt. You may be here and you may be feeling hurt. I did hear from some, and there's a commitment that we have as leadership to walking with you in your hurt, to seeing God's healing happen, to seeing you restored into a place of ministering. So if you're hurt and you didn't say anything last week, or if you're here, you're hearing this for the first time, we want to journey with you. We want to equip, empower. We want to see God's Spirit bring healing into your life. The last was, do you remember the picture of the Cheetos or Cheesies? I'm lazy. Sometimes we move into this place where we're just lazy. We don't want to serve. It's inconvenient. In fact, we would rather put on a new TV episode, Netflix, that has 7 seasons and spend our time there. Right? And so there's a challenge and a prompt. If that's where you're at, you might need to turn Netflix off. We need you. Church, we need you. Right? Not only do we need you, the community around needs us together, needs us ministering outward. All right, so that's where we landed last week. That was based around 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of us has a gift. Each of us has a spiritual gift that we need to be plugging back in to the community, both within the church and outside of the church. And if you don't know what your gift is, or you have no idea, or you're confused about that, come and talk to us about that as well. Luke 14, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Luke 14. It says this, then Jesus said, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. What we've got here is opportunity to enter into the banquet. The title of this message comes from verse 17. It says, come, for everything is now ready. Come, for everything is now ready. We understand that this was set in a different context, and we're going to move through the verses, and we're going to hear about the context and what it meant in that space. However, it still applies to us. So we have salvation in Christ. At that time, the people who are hearing this did not have salvation yet through Christ. They were still living in the old covenant. And Jesus was the new covenant, and what would happen eventually, he would fulfill that. And these people who were resisting and saying, oh, I'm too busy, I can't do that, I've got this field I bought, I've got these amazing oxen I just purchased, I just got married. These people were turning away and resisting that movement towards salvation. Now we in our church, sometimes we become like the Israelites. Last week it talked about grumbling, that movement away from grumbling. Sometimes we become like the Israelites who grumble. We take our salvation that we have in Christ, through Christ, and we set it aside. And we move into a place of entitlement. There's a pastor once who shared a story. His name was Mark Driscoll. He was the pastor of Mars Hill and now is in an interim place of ministry. He didn't do everything right, for those of you who know about Mark Driscoll, but he did do a lot of things right. And Mark Driscoll shared this story once. He had somebody come up who was grumbling about church, who was grumbling about the way that church was, and Mark asked him three questions. He said, how much are you giving? Where are you serving? And are you plugged into one of our community groups? And the person that he asked, when it came to the giving question, got all flustered. You can't talk to me about, you can't ask me my finances. In all likelihood, because he wasn't giving. When it came to serving anywhere in the church, and that is a large church, but still opportunities to serve, he wasn't serving anywhere in the church. When it came to being connected and plugged into a community group, in our context, it would be a life group. He wasn't plugged into a life group. And if you're in a place where you're frustrated or grumbling or something's not going right, I would encourage you to consider those three questions as well. If you're in a place where you're saying, I am too busy, I can't do anything, then I would consider you to actually move through your calendar and start to filter with the Holy Spirit's discernment what needs to be released. And we started this message with this idea that this is all about opportunity. And I want you to hear that really clearly, church. I want you to hear this is about opportunity. If you ever picture yourself in a service role, sometimes there's difficulty moving towards it. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. All of a sudden you get there and you start to get involved and engaged, and what happens? Pretty consistently, there's a heart change because you're working with people, because you're developing relationship, because you're being faithful. And this is the opportunity that we're talking about here. We need you. We want you. We love you. God needs you. He wants you. He loves you. This is the service. This is what we're talking about. So verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Now if you have your Bibles, just go a little bit earlier and you'll notice that Jesus is on the Sabbath at a Pharisee's house. And what is Jesus doing? Jesus is stirring it up and bringing discomfort to those people who think they've got it all together. I love that about Jesus. And I love it because I know I don't have it all together, and Jesus guides me and directs me. For those of us who think they have it all together, be careful, because Jesus will make you uncomfortable. It's not for the sake of discomfort. It's for the sake of entering into full and true and rich life. And so Jesus asks these Pharisees, all these guys there, he says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And there's this guy who's there, and he heals him. And the guy gets up and leaves, and the Pharisees are like, oh, you can't do anything on the Sabbath. He goes on and he talks about where, when somebody puts on a wedding feast, do you take the place of honor for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited? If so, the person, the host who invites you will have to ask you to move. No, you should take the place of least honor. You should move into that place of humility. And everybody's listening and going, this is not what I want to hear. I want the place of honor. I want to know that there's rules and regulations that I can see and I can touch and I can control. And then I want to control other people. And so what's happened is this is the context of this specific situation. There's this guy who's sitting here, and you can just see him. You can see somebody who likes to bring harmony into a group. Any harmony makers, harmonizers here? Yeah, there's a few. You sit there and you watch and you see the discomfort and you start to just like shift a little bit in your body, right? You go, oh, this is so awkward. And so this guy who's there blurts out, it doesn't say that he blurted out. I'm adding a little bit to the setting here. I think that it's appropriate. One of those tailors, he says to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Thinking this beautiful, harmonious statement would appease and slow and bring everybody back together. And Jesus goes, all right then. Right? Here's what's happening. Here's where you aren't quite seeing, you aren't quite hearing. Now, church, present church, Crossroads Community Church, we have talked in the past about that movement towards fullness, where God's Spirit would be poured out on us so fully that every time we gather, every time somebody goes out from us, God's miracles, God's wonders, God's works would happen. I believe, as do I know many of you, that that is possible. I believe that God wants that for us. I believe what we need to do in partnership with Jesus is to be faithful. And being faithful does not always mean comfort. Being faithful means pressing into Jesus. It means choosing Jesus. When we get to that place, it's just like that hymn that we sang today. How I've proved him over and over. Right? That's the place we want to be in. Amen? Amen. So Jesus replies, a certain man was preparing a banquet. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant out for those who had been invited. Come, for everything is now ready. So this, sometimes we get e-invitations, right? Jesus is sending out an e-invitation to everybody to say, hey, come. It's not even a potluck. We're having this potluck. What does a potluck require? A potluck requires us to bring food. It requires us to get stuff ready and to bring it into that. This isn't a potluck. This is a giant feast of triple-decker Nanaimo bars that are soft and not even close to stale. Right? Right? Come, for everything is now ready. And that's it. That's it. That's what we don't realize. Right? The work is done. The hard, hard work of us being able to come and stand before and hear from God, that has been accomplished. I was talking with a friend who said, I'm hearing really clearly from God. And I'm excited. Yeah, because that work has been done that gives you access to Jesus. You don't have to take on the sins of the world. And when you do take on your own sins, all you have to do is confess and release them. And God is faithful, He covers them. So what is your obstacle then? Consider that. What is my obstacle for making that step, that next step towards fullness? Verse 18, but they all began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Now, what starts to happen here is people hear about this and they start to go, well, I just can't quite do it. I remember when I was a youth pastor, my first youth pastor post, and there was this youth that I would work with, and we would, the leaders and I would do everything we could to pursue all the kids, to invite all the kids, to invite all the youth to come out to whatever we were going. And this youth, every single time, would say, well, I'll think about it, but I'm just going to see what else is going on first. Right? And it was so funny, because every time you could predict. Now, normally we do that and we filter it a little bit differently. I'm not sure if my calendar will allow that. Right? I might be able to. But we have this tendency towards making excuses, towards opting out of being present. So the first one is around a field. I just bought a field, and some fields in ancient times required a post-purchase inspection. And so this was, culturally in that context, it was a natural one. It was valid in a sense that you could make an argument that this was the right thing for him to do. He just purchased it. He's got to take care of his field. Okay? Priorities. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Now, most ancient landowners would have 1 or 2 oxen. The fact that this guy had just bought 5 oxen meant that he was wealthy. Right, he had money that he was spending, that he was investing, and his priority was on making sure his investment was taken care of. Verse 20, still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. And the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 20 allows one to be freed from certain obligations in case of marriage, such as going to war or other cultural obligations. And so this guy goes, well, I'm going to use this marriage as a rationale for me to opt out of this. Now we understand with this picture, the banquet is salvation. It's invitation to Jesus and salvation. But I want to suggest it's more. Us being invited into that place is us being faithful into being connected and called together as the church. It means being faithful in how we live out. We are saved, we are rescued, we are pulled into a life of freedom with Christ. But what happens after that call is what we call discipleship, and that's where we begin to choose and to continue to choose and to continue to press in. And as we're faithful, that's where we move and live in the fullness of God. And whenever you hear about somebody who does this faithfully, you see that lives are changed. You see that hope is brought. And our tension, especially in wealthy North America, wealthy Canada, is that we have everything we need. We have everything that we need materially. We have everything that we need, we think, psychologically. We have everything we need medically. And so we move into all of these other places, all of these other things. Bye, beautiful. That's my little girl. Man, I love her. Right? And you relate to that because you've experienced or seen or longed for that type of relationship. That's what God does when he looks at us. We reach out in a prayer and God looks down and says, man, I love that kid. Man, I want to bless, I want to pour out on my child. That's what this is really about, church. This movement towards serving, this movement towards being faithful in what you've been called and the way that you've been gifted is all about relating to Jesus and his love. It's not about getting. Right? We talk about finance. It's not so that we can have money in the bank. Because if the money doesn't come in through the bank, we'll find another way to be faithful. We'll find another way. God will make another way. Every time he has, every time he will. And again, that's where this is opportunity. Now the question is there opportunity for you to give, or is God actually saying, no, I'm going to let all the money run out so there's nothing so I can show myself? We don't know. We believe God has called us to this budget. We've pressed into this faith budget. We're seeking after it, but we're still more importantly seeking after God. And God is going to pour his spirit. He's going to bring healing. He's going to break down demonic barriers that have been on the coast now for years. I know it. I believe it. What's our call? Faithful. Be faithful. Press in. Don't splinter. Don't spread out. Press in. Verse 22, sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told the servant, go out to the roads and in the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. What I want us to hear and want us to understand is that there is an urgency here for us to be going out and compelling others. Compelling means to be bringing them into places where they can encounter Jesus. Compelling means that you are fully dressed in the clothes that God's given you to wear as far as giftings. That you are moving in God's spirit as you go out and you interact, as you love people around you, as you care for them, as you interact with them, as you lay down your life for people. Our role is to come and join God in the work that he's doing. I want for you to consider right now, which characters do you identify with in this story? Which characters do you identify with in this story? Let's remember who the characters are. The first is the banquet host. We understand that the banquet host overall is God. God is the one who prepares, who makes everything ready and says, hey, all you've got to do is come. Just come. Do you identify with the banquet host? Are you angry when people don't come? The first group of guests, the ones who had a field to take care of or oxen to oversee or a marriage, the ones who were making excuses, well, depending on what else is going on, I'll see. Do you identify with those guests? The second group of guests, the blind, the lame, and the broken, do you identify with them? At some point, every single one of us is blind and lame and broken until we arrive at that place where Jesus sets us free. Now, if you're here and you haven't made that choice to choose Jesus, the banquet is set. The full life is there. And the full life does not mean that you will all of a sudden have a bank account that's full of money or anything. The full life means that God will give you exactly what you need and He will care for you. The full life means that you will move into a place of understanding and moving closer towards the understanding of the love of the Father. The full life means that you have opportunity to live every second in the full peace of Jesus. And I've had both a full bank account, and I've had the peace of Jesus, and I would choose the peace of Jesus every time. Anybody different? Every time. And so if you're here and you're hearing this in a different way or a new way, or you're feeling this tug on your heart, like, yeah, that's what I want. I want that. I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer of confessing your sin, the things that have blocked you from God. And it just goes like this: God, I surrender. I give up. I recognize that I'm blocked from you and that I need the fullness of Jesus in my life. Come, Lord, come and fill me. Come and set me free. I want to invite you to pray that prayer, and then I want to invite you into the next step, which is that movement towards discipleship of coming and telling somebody. Of walking with and taking those next steps as you grow in Christ. Okay, so that's the first thing. If you're blind, lame, or broken. The third guest is the passerby who don't even know the host but are invited and compelled to come. And those are the people who are out there yet that don't even know that there is a call on their life to come in. Who's going to tell them? Every single one of us here has that role to go out and to live it and to tell them and to compel. That's the joining in. That's the mission. Now, there's one other character in this story that we often overlook or we don't focus on. It's easy to focus on those who are the main points. But the other person is the servant, the person who's there, who's faithfully serving. Now, the servant is invited in and receives everything that's within that banquet, everything that's prepared, and then joins in the work. And that's where we are invited, church. We're invited to come in, to arrive, to partake of the feast, and then to join in serving the will of the Father. And that is the best place to be. The best place to be. Anyone who knows Jesus has a testimony and will testify to that. That is the best place to be. We're going to move into our ministry time, church. And so I'm going to invite our worship team to make their way forward and our communion team and our prayer team. And as we move into the prayer, again, I want you to consider Who do you identify with? Where is God inviting you? Is he inviting you more fully to live into that place of being a servant? Is he inviting you to shift from one who makes excuses into the reality that you are lame and broken, into that place of partaking in the banquet? There is invitation for more, for fuller life for every single one of us every day. And really, all we need to do is to pause, to intentionally set ourselves apart, and to seek what God would have us do. This last week, our youth watched a film that challenged us at the start of your day to make space to seek God, to just make a little bit of space and time to say, God, what would you have me do? And share that when you do that, all of a sudden, your day looks different. The pressures that were pressures aren't as heavy. The clarity for the next step start to make sense. So can I invite you to stand, church, and let's pray. So Lord, you have invited us into your banquet, into your feast, and we say thank you, Jesus. And my sense, Lord, is that some of us have received the invitation and we're looking at it in our hands, not quite sure whether we should take it and step in. Some of us are at the door waiting to go in, but not quite clear on what that looks like. Some of us have actually accepted and stepped in, but are just on the threshold. And so I pray, Jesus, that you would break down barriers in lives. I pray that you would give in this moment such a crystal clear understanding of what those barriers are. And then the courage, Lord, to say, I don't want these barriers, I want you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would build up in this church, in this place, servants who are partaking in the feast, who are eager to do and to be where you have called us. You, Lord, can do anything. You can take this small group of people here and you can change this small community. And then you can take this small community and use us to influence the next community. God, we just want your presence known. We want people to be free. Amen, church. And so we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. And so just welcome you, church, to consider opportunity. And if God lays on your heart to give, come and give. If God lays on your heart to come and to participate in communion, come and participate in communion. God lays on your heart that you need prayer, or there's something that you're struggling with that you cannot get out, even if you don't want to speak it out loud and you want somebody to come alongside you, come and be prayed for. Church, recognize the opportunity. There's opportunity for faithfulness, for fullness in Christ. Be blessed this week, church. Amen.